America, America. This is Nate, this is Nate Smooth. Here it is, here it is. And let me lay it down for you. Check it out, check it out. Coming to you live with conservative talk and information for the warrior in you. We're all warriors in this warrior nation, fighting to keep our freedoms and constitutional rights. So never give up. Never give up the fight.
It's a warrior nation.
Fight the progressives.
It's a warrior nation.
Fight to keep our freedoms.
It's a warrior nation.
For you and me.
It's a warrior nation.
Protecting our liberties.
We're a warrior nation with no time to play. Join the Constitution in the American way. We're a warrior nation, both night and day. Fighting for our freedom, cause we're here to stay. Let's fight!
Good evening, warriors! And welcome to Warrior Nation with Julie Prince. Great choice in deciding to join my revolution tonight, warriors. I want you to sit back, relax, and grab a glass of your favorite wine, and enjoy some real conservative talk radio with me. Be sure to check me out at conservativewarriors.com. You can find me on many of my columns on theclashdaily.com, buzzpo.com, blog talk radio every Thursday evening beginning at 8 p.m. And don't forget to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. On Twitter, it's at Reagan Warriors. And if you have any questions or comments you'd like me to answer or talk about on the air, please be sure to email me at conservativewarriors@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear from you folks. I love to hear from you warriors. And every show, I would take a few of your emails and read them and answer your questions online. And, you know, kind of what's important to you listeners. So starting next week, I will be doing that again, emails from you folks. And so I'm always, always excited to hear from you guys. So if you have a question or comment, please email me. I'd love to hear from you. So we only have a 30-minute show today, folks. So we have kind of like a sensitive topic, if you will. And so today's topic of conversation is going to be about race relations, if you will. And kind of the situations that are going on with the civil unrest in our communities across the country, kind of what's been going on there with that. And the issue of the black youth in the black community and people getting killed and basically the terrorism that's going on as a result of this. Now, some call it rioting. I happen to call it terrorism. You have burning down of cities. You have looting, okay, stealing from people's businesses, a crime, all right? You have people living in total fear. You have harming of store owners, okay? You have harming of police officers, you know, throwing rocks and burning trash cans and burning their cruisers. And to me, I'm sorry, folks, this is downright terrorism, folks. This goes well beyond rioting or peaceful assembly. You don't agree with something. They're acting like complete savages going across the country and burning their communities to the ground. Okay, I call that terrorism. Now, we've had a few high-profile situations regarding the shooting of black youths or young men, really. Beginning with Trayvon Martin, he's the one that sort of started all of this craziness, okay, the George Zimmerman case, which you know, he was found not guilty. Then we had Michael Brown. Y'all remember Michael Brown situation, again, Darren Wilson, all right, no wrongdoing. And most recently, there's been Freddie Gray. And those police officers, you know, are coming up on murder charges. We don't know what happened there yet either. People have opinions on it. But we don't know in this situation. And I was very careful when reporting. It's one of my pet peeves. Be careful when reporting because you don't have all the facts straight. And it needs to be investigated, and due justice will happen if there is justice to be had. The question is, why did the media pick up on these, three specific cases when there's hundreds of blacks being killed, especially in Obama's Chicago? Why specifically were these three cherry-picked? Now, I was on Facebook. I believe it was yesterday, and I happened to catch a post made by the famous Montel Williams. Yep, Montel Williams, folks. Now, if you don't know who Montel Williams is, he's a talk show host, and I also believe in my heart that he was very instrumental in bringing our captured Marine, Andrew Timoresi, home. And he worked hard. He worked really hard to make that happen. And for that, Warriors, I applaud him, okay? It was just marvelous, absolutely marvelous to have him brought home. So I like Montel. I like Montel Williams. There are things that I have agreed with him on, okay? He's been very boisterous about a lot of things. If you follow him, you'll see. So there are things that I have agreed with him on, and there are other things that I believe he is very misguided on and just plain wrong. And we've had dialogue on Facebook before. When I've commented on some of the things that he has answered back. He's very good about that. Answers back, I believe, whenever he can. And yesterday was a day where I was annoyed enough by his posts and his comments that I commented back. And here's the statement that Montel made on his page that got me all revved up. I was just like, ugh, just annoyed totally by this comment. Here's what Montel had to say, and I quote, okay? This is a quote by Montel Williams. It's kind of long, so bear with me. White privilege does exist, and its simple meaning has gotten bogged down in an idiotic expansion of a very simple truth. Very simply, statistics are dramatically less likely, on the whole, to be stopped or arrested by police. It's a systemic problem. It's an issue as much relating to the individual police officers as it is the result of the system they are forced to work in. So let's fix the system rather than debating statistical reality on both sides. I actually think it's not white people's fault, nor the fault of individual officers. It's a system that even the Koch brothers see as dramatically unfair and needing reform. I think that's the extent of quote-unquote white privilege. The rest of the privilege concept is simple. It's about socioeconomics and opportunity. If we can all just be grateful for the advantages we have and look for ways, very important, have not, we can end the stupid and make some progress. Huh? Okay. So here, white privilege, okay, he uses the word white privilege. Now, white privilege is one term that I find to be very idiotic, and it's an idiotic way to lay blame on something that has a very clear and very concise reasoning. Now, Montel says, let's, quote-unquote, fix the system. Well, what exactly does that mean, fixing the system? So here's my response to Montel Williams. And I quote, "This is the biggest load of garbage that I've read in a while. Try getting the black community to take responsibility for how they behave, how they raise their children. Fathers should think about sticking around. The culture is to blame as well. The quote-unquote system isn't unfair. Every single American has opportunities and a thing called free will. If anything, you can say there is black privilege, as affirmative action sure does exist. Not a cop's fault or society's fault, whether it be a black kid or a white kid who is stopped by the cops. It's the kid's fault. What you're saying also sounds a lot like spreading the wealth as well. I say to who and where my money goes to. Get rid of the welfare pimps like Sharpton as well." Now, that was my response to Montel Williams. I'm sick to death of hearing that, you know, there's white privilege and you know, that the black kids are being held down and being held back. Okay, and simply because I'm white, I get more, basically, is the premise of this white privilege stuff. And, of course, there was no response on as yet of this particular remark. Okay, no response from Montel. Now, Montel went on to say, and you've got to read this entire thread, because he says just things that just sound so progressive, and just like he drank the Kool-Aid. And this is coming from a very rich man, okay? He's saying this, and it's very easy to sit up high on your high horse when you're mega rich, okay, and talk about this subject. Now, he went on to say, "I'm actually not saying there is a problem with white. I'm saying there is a simple statistical truth. I think behind that, there's no racial component, and the conversation needs to be about socioeconomics. I actually don't care for the term white privilege because I think it makes it harder to get people to focus on fixing the systemic problems we have." Now, he mentions in his first post that you know, white privilege does exist. Now he's saying that, you know, he doesn't like the word white privilege. Okay, so figure out what you're talking about there. You're not real clear on the whole white privilege thing. Now, I responded to that with, "How does the statistical truth get to where it is? I am curious your answer." Again, no response. So, folks, how does, if there are statistical numbers, okay, out there, who's ever running these statistical numbers, okay, I guess it would depend on what source you're getting your statistical truths from. He actually cited USA Today, ran the numbers, quote unquote, that black youth is targeted more. Okay. How does this statistical truth get to where it is? Is it a white man's fault if, say, the statistics are a truth that black kids, black youth, black men, the black community is targeted more by police than whites? How does it get there in the first place? I can tell you very, very confidently that it is not the white community that has done that. Okay? Again, going back to personal responsibility, and I'll get further into, you know, the solution of all this and what I think about that. Now, I believe the majority of police officers are good. Okay, you grow up, you know, knowing that if there's a problem, you know, you can go to a police officer to help you. Now, they took an oath to protect and serve their community. And I believe that the majority of them want to help. That's why they took a dangerous job, such as a police officer in an inner city. Okay, trying to keep the peace and trying to keep crime from happening. Okay, I don't think you just put yourself out there and put yourself in that position in harm's way, you know, for fun. I think they generally have a want and a need to serve and protect. And as I said, if I was in trouble, the first one I would call would be the police or fire or one of our first responders. So all of this going on and the, you know, well, blue lives matter too. And it used to be like a horror, like, oh my gosh, a police officer was killed in the community. Like that, you know, you don't do that. And now it seems like it's trending that, you know, it's the right thing to do, that all police officers are bad. Now the question is, why are black youth stopped by police? Why are they stopped by police in the first place? Do cops go out cruising looking for blacks, black youths to kill, to bully, to just unlawfully arrest? You know, I'm sure there are some bad cops out there, but I believe the majority of them are good. Montel was talking about statistically how blacks are pulled over more than whites. And what the liberal media fails to report on and what you don't hear, okay, in these equations is how these youth, Brown, let's use him as an example, Michael Brown, robbed the local convenience store before he was stopped by Darren Wilson. Okay, he roughed up the guy. It's on videotape. You can't refute it. Okay, going in there, and, you know, he's a big boy, roughing up the store owner and stealing from the store owner. We all saw the pictures that surfaced with him holding a gun, smoking, you know, booze in the picture. I believe, I'm not going to quote, but I believe there were some ones with gang signs, that sort of thing. He, you know, they idolized, you know, rappers singing about the thug life and dealing drugs. And they want to emulate that. Now, Michael Brown was a thug who did not listen to authority. And I'm going to say the word thug. And on that note, the word thug, you know, what is it, Melissa Harris Perry and, you know, the liberal progressive media is asking, is thug the new N-word? Okay, thug is a person, you know, basically doesn't listen to authority, a thug. Okay, I'll say the word thug as many times as I want to. All right, now they're going to say, you know, try to control freedom of speech, you can't say the word thug. Okay, so back to what we were talking about. If you're a kid or even adult obeying the law and minding your own business, it's very, very doubtful you're going to get killed by the police. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Now, the system, quote unquote, is not to blame. As I pointed out, many black men father children to several different women. They don't stick around to be fathers. And I can't tell you the importance that fathers have in the raising of their children and the influence that they have on a child. These men teach their children to be brave, to feel security, to teach them virtuous, to have virtuous lives. Okay? Fathers are extremely important. They're just as important as mothers. And many of these fathers are absent, or they're in jail. You know, if you want to get to statistics, okay, I could run some numbers. I can go through and do the research, but statistically, it's high. A lot of them are in jail. And same could be said about whites as well, okay? Many whites also, you know, abandon their family. And they step out on responsibility. Now, the black community has blamed the white man for many of the issues that they have. And it goes back to this whole white privilege, okay? This is not something I'm making up, okay? This word, new thing, white privilege, is coming out. And I said it before, okay, on the show a while back, and I'll say it again. The wounds of the era of slavery are now and will be prevalent and a cause Okay, it is. You know, it. How could it not be? Okay? And where do you think the word affirmative action came from? Where do you think it came from? Where do you think the idea of reparations came from? Okay, it stems from that, okay? It's still the anger is there. And you know, rightfully so. Rightfully so. Did I have anything to do with that? Absolutely not. And as far as I know, none of my ancestors owned slaves. There were actually black slave owners as well. Okay? But I do believe some of that, you know, it's part of the history. A part of that stems from the history. Okay? So many blacks, you know, they vote Democrat, which it's so hard to believe that they vote Democrat. It's like the biggest lie ever perpetrated upon a people. That, you know, the Democratic Party is long been seen as the party for the little man, for the poor, social programs. You know, when Obama got elected, and I believe he was elected purely on color as the first, quote-unquote, African-American black president, which he is half white. We do know this. He completely ignores his white heritage. But it's hard to believe because, you know, the Democratic Party is the party of death. They're for abortions, which, you know, the black community inherently, you know, is very godly, you know, and pro-life, you know, even though, you know, the rate of abortions is, you know, I don't have the statistics on that. But inherently, you know, very godly community. And the Democratic Party wants and needs to hold the black community down. Without the black voters, frankly, the party would be out of business. And they rely on not just the black community or the black poor community, but the white poor community as well, to give them the votes that they can keep the strong arm of the government in their lives, keeping them in poverty and developing more social programs, giving them free money, which, you know, you can't, let's be honest, you can't live, you know, on a social program or on a government handout. It wasn't intended to be your job. But the Democratic Party holds a community down, okay, and with the promises, you know, you hear the Obama phone and all of that. So, you know, as it's not the job of the rich either to come to the rescue of a community, whether it be white or black, poor. Okay, Obama just recently discussing that. You know, that you should give, you know, basically they want half. If you make, what, over $250,000 or so, that you can afford to give your share. Okay, spreading the wealth, the hard-earned dollars that I made at my job should go to somebody less fortunate. And I'm sorry, no. I say to where my money is going to go. If I want to give to charities, I will give to faith-based programs. So this, the whole spreading of the wealth is like the new thing, like, you know, that's being accepted in some parts of our society. And it's theft is what it is. It's theft. So as we watch our cities burn to the ground, we watch the entire lives of these business owners being destroyed, violence being cast upon our men and women in uniform. And we have a president who meets with these so-called protesters and tells them to stay the course. Stay the course, which means keep going, keep pushing, okay? So what do we do? The police need to do their job. They have a job to do, to serve and protect. And I'll tell you, warriors, the solution begins at home. Men, try being men. Stay with your family. Help to raise the children that you created. Don't have children if you can't afford them. Teach your child that the culture and the gang life or the thug life isn't the way to go. That there are ways to end the cycle of poverty through education. We all have opportunities. And I mean, heck, if you're poor, if you're dirt poor, you have more opportunities than anyone, especially when it comes to education, including college. I'm white, and I'm sick of hearing about white privilege. And I'll tell you something, Warriors. I'll tell you a story. I was a single mom for a long period of time, okay? And when I got divorced, I had nothing. I mean nothing. My ex-husband, he fought me for every single dime. And I had no job because I lost my business. I had a business that I had to lose through the divorce. So basically, I was coming out of this with nothing, okay? I had a husband, he refused to pay child support for my children for a long time, okay? And I had to pull myself together and make it happen. I had to basically totally reinvent myself. And was it scary? Yes, it was very scary. And so I had two children, and there was no room for failure. I had two children and no job, no nothing. Finally, I found a job, and I made $10 an hour. Now imagine that, Warriors. You have two children. You have a car, you have utilities, you have all the things that you have just essential to live, and you're making $10 an hour. And I had no health care for myself. And so I had to take responsibility and find ways to make it work. I had no cable television. I obviously didn't have the money to buy any extras, nothing. I shopped at very low discount stores, found ways to make it work. I took every single overtime opportunity where I worked that I could. I learned every single aspect of the department I was working in. And it was sad because I missed out on many things with my children because I had to work. I had to make tough decisions. You know, you either work or you go to this fun thing with your kids. And so in the end, work sometimes, a lot of times, trumped doing fun things because I loved my children so much. I needed to work to get that overtime money. And I busted my hiney. And after a while, I applied for a permanent position. And luckily, my hard work paid off. I got the job, and I began making $27,500 a year. Now, as you know, that is poverty level. That's poverty level with two children. But it was better. It was still better than $10 an hour. And I cried when I got that job. I prayed about it, and I worked very hard, and I got the job. So I continued on making $27,500 and cutting corners wherever I could, and I had no social life because there was no gas money to go anywhere but to and from work. And I continued to work hard, very hard, and again a job came up. And this time it was to be, assistant manager, running one of the departments. And so I thought, what the heck? You know, I tried to learn everything I could about it and what I got to lose. So I applied for the job, and guess what? My hard work paid off again, and I got the job. But this time, I made $55,500 a year. I had excellent benefits and a retirement package as well. Now, Warriors, I'm telling you this because I didn't get the job because I was white. I'll tell you that right off the bat, because I work, this is a government job. Okay, this is the kind of job where they call down from the HR department and ask you how many black people are working in your department because they need to fill their quota. Okay, so I didn't get that job because I was white. I got it because I sacrificed and because I worked hard. And you know what, Warriors? I wasn't going to be a statistic, and neither were my children. I taught my children from a very early age responsibility, work ethic, character. I was involved in their lives, schooling, who their friends were. I monitored their grades all by myself. Their father actually moved to another state, very far away, 14-hour drive to get there. And I had no family around me. They also lived out of town. So I did this all on my own. So it can be done when you're down and out and you're in at the, one of the lowest points of your life. You can pick yourself up and you can make things happen. And a child wants your time, not your money or your gifts. They're constantly looking for validation and guidance, and they crave discipline from their parents. So you see, Warriors, you're only going to be a statistic if you allow yourself to be. And one last thing that I want to mention before we have to go, Warriors. There was a mom who showed up at the Freddie Gray protest. You probably have seen it. It's been all over the news. And I'm sure you've seen the footage. And she showed up and saw her son at the protest and gave him a butt whooping of the century. Now, I respect that mom immensely. Toya Graham is her name. And she said she did not want her son to become another Freddie Gray. She's a single mom of five girls and her only boy. I mean, I applaud that mother. That mother is looking out for her kids. And she's a single mom, a single mother. I don't know if the father's involved or not, but she's a single mom. And either way, it's a tough job being a single mom. So I applaud that woman. And there's an example of what leadership can be in a community. Even if it was unintentional attention, obviously, that she got, everyone can take a clue and learn a lesson from that mother. Okay? So I believe, Warriors, the overall message here is not white privilege and everything. This is 2015, Warriors. It's time we put race behind us, folks. I don't care what color your skin is. I care the content of your character. It's the content of your character that matters in life. And you can pull out of poverty. You can do it. It takes a lot of sacrifice and a lot of hard work and concentration on education and educating your kids and just being there for them. Even if you're a single mom working, you can do it. So that's a great reminder, my friend. It's a great reminder that you can do this. You've got this. And maybe stop blaming everybody else and take personal responsibility for your own actions. Well, Warriors, I am out of time, and that's my take on this situation and that comment by Mr. Montel Williams just kind of got under my skin a little bit, so I felt like I needed to sound off on that. And so, folks, we're out of time, and I just want to thank you guys for listening in this evening. I appreciate every single one of you. And don't forget, check me out on Facebook and on Twitter and Flash Daily, Blog Talk, and at BuzzFlow.com, and basically all over the internet. So until next time, my patriots, this is Warrior Nation signing off. See you on the flip side, Warriors. Good night, and God bless.
America, America, this is Nate, this is Nate, here it is, Let me lay it down for you. Check it out.
Check it out.
Coming to you live for conservative talk and information for the warrior in you. We're all warriors in this warrior nation, fighting to keep our freedoms and constitutional rights. So never give up. Never give up the fight.